Hello again, Twins fans. This is John Swole with TwinsTrivia.com, and it is once again time to talk with a former Twins great. Today, we have the pleasure and honor of speaking with third baseman and outfielder Steve Braun. In 1971, Steve made the huge jump from A-ball to the big leagues, and Brawny played for the Twins for six seasons between 1971 and 1976. Before being drafted by the Seattle Mariners in the 1976 expansion draft. Braun also played for the Royals, the Blue Jays, and the St. Louis Cardinals before retiring as an active player in 1986. So let's listen to Steve Braun tell us about his baseball career. Steve, you were born and grew up in New Jersey. What kind of sports did you play growing up?
Well, as a young man growing up in Washington's Crossing outside of Trenton, right on the Delaware River, we're watching across the Delaware. I don't know if you know that revolutionary story, but that's where he crossed the river, and that's a story in itself. But I played a lot of sports, played football as a young guy. We didn't have high school football, so I played up until I was probably about 13, 14 in the city ball. And then I played, of course, basketball in high school. That was actually my favorite sport.
Really?
I really enjoyed my high school years playing basketball. It was always a big crowd, you know. And of course, baseball. They were the three sports that I played mostly.
Okay.
And now I play golf. Now that's my favorite sport.
I try that a little bit, too, but it's I try that a little, too, and it gets to be kind of a hard game.
Well, I started playing that when I was probably about 10 or 12 years old and really fell in love with the game and played as much as I can. It's part of my way to keep fit, keep my health, my weight down. I walk the golf course a lot, and of course, I've been out there with friends and having a little wager on the line and competing against the golf course and you know, trying to get that ball to go where you want to. It's everything that I want to do right now.
Yeah. Yeah. The Twins drafted you in the 10th round in the June 1966 draft as a shortstop, I believe, and you signed almost immediately. What do you remember about that, and what kind of signing bonus did you receive?
Yeah, I had a $5,000 signing bonus right out of high school. Kind of an interesting story. I think people would like to know how I got drafted. The high school field that I used to play on, there was a yard butted up to the field, and there was a pitching coach in the Twins organization named Pete Appleton. And he used to be out in the backyard in the summertime working his daughter's garden. And he used to see me and my brothers out, my father, playing ball out there. He'd stop and come over and watch us and introduce himself and everything. But to make a long story short, he recommended the Twin Scout to take a look at me.
Interesting.
And that was the story about how the Twins discovered me there here in New Jersey.
That's an interesting story.
Yeah.
You started working your way up through the minors in 1966, and you played primarily second base. But then in 1968 and 69, your baseball career took a backseat to the military. Tell us about that.
Well, I completed a year and a half of minor league ball. Both those summers were played in the Gulf Coast League in Florida, Sarasota. 19 years old, 20 years old those years, and then I got drafted that fall of 67 into the military and spent 2 years in the military. Fortunately, those 2 years were spent in Germany after my basic and AIT training. I went to Germany, so I was able to play some baseball, although on a limited basis, maybe 20, 25 games a year in Germany. So did keep my baseball skills up, and then, of course, when I got out, I continued my minor league career.
Okay. Now is the Army that you were in, correct?
Yeah, that's correct, yep.
Okay. Got to spend it in Germany. That's not too bad a duty.
Well, I had a lot of fun there. I had great duty. It was an interesting 18 to 19 months I was there. Got a chance to travel around Germany, Berlin, three times. I also played basketball there. And so I was in Berlin, like I said, three times. Enjoyed that city after President John F. Kennedy was there giving his Ich bin ein Berliner speech. So people really loved Americans there. So wherever we went, we were welcome as American soldiers. So that was a lot of fun, and playing ball there was also a lot of fun.
Did you play with any players that were in the majors?
Well, in the Army?
Yeah.
No, I didn't play with any. Yeah.
Okay. With the service behind you in 1970, you had a good but not what I would call a breakout season, now playing third base for Lynchburg in A-ball. But in the spring of 71, you found yourself in spring training with the Twins. How did that come to pass?
Well, the Lynchburg year, I had an injury to one of my fingers. I dove back into second base after hitting a double and really injured my finger and was out for a good 6 weeks. So I think I hit about 280 in Lynchburg.
Mm-hmm.
But where I started really excelling was in the instructional ball program, which ran for about 2 months in the fall after the regular season was over. They invited the prospects or the guys that really thought something of to Florida to play an extended season. And I hit over 300 both those years while I was down there. And that was against the really good competition, because the people that were there, the players that were there were exceptional, and when they were really looking for big things.
Mm-hmm.
So I hit against the better pitching area and excelled. And one instance that really helped me was one of our pitching coaches told me I was a better low ball hitter than a high ball hitter. And so he would remind me every day of what I did on a high pitch that I chased out of the strike zone high. And then asked me, well, what the two doubles you hit, where were they? And they were down the strike zone. Well, I started laying off the high pitch and getting my pitch more often than the pitcher's pitch, and that's what propelled me right to the big leagues.
So a hitting tip from a pitching coach, huh?
Exactly. That's it. I tell people that his name was he was a scout in California, but he also came and did the pitching duties in the instructional league there.
Interesting.
I think it was Jesse Flores, senior, and he has a young son that's also a scout, Jesse Jr. But it was Jesse Senior that gave me that tip, probably the most important tip I ever had about hitting.
Interesting. You had a very nice spring in 1971, and you made the big club out of spring training. Do you remember how you first found out that you were headed for Minnesota?
I can remember like it was yesterday. I was taking second base pivots, double play pivots at second base, and Frank Crosetti was instructing me, and Bill Rickney was standing in short center field, and he said, he told, "Hey Frank, tell Braun to come over here." So I went out to short center field and was talking to Bill Rickney, and I remember the exact words he said. He said, how do you think you're going to like playing in the American League? It almost floored me because, as you know, I was coming out of A-ball, and most guys don't make the team out of A-ball.
Right.
And I was kind of surprised, and I remember, can I go call my father? I left the field and called my father. And he almost flipped, knowing that I was going to be playing in Yankee Stadium in another month.
Pretty nice.
Yeah, so that's how that all took place.
Very nice. You then made your major league debut at Met Stadium on opening day as a pinch hitter facing the Brewers' Marty Patton. How do you remember that day?
Well, I really can't remember that first day, and I really didn't even remember the pitcher until you told me. Marty Patton ended up being a pretty good friend of mine because we played the Royals together. But anyway, what I do remember is opening day was snowed out, and I was remember being in that hotel, the Marriott Inn, right across from the stadium.
Yep.
And I looked outside that opening day. It was about 6 or 7 inches of snow on the ground. And I said, I guess we're not opening day today. And I guess the hit came a few days after that. But I don't remember the opening day, but I do remember the opening the day that was supposed to be opening day.
Yeah. You had a very good rookie season, making the Topps all-rookie team and playing primarily third base, but you also played some second, short, and even a couple games in the outfield, and you hit 254 in 128 games. Share with us, if you can, what you thought of your performance in your first year in the big leagues.
Well, that first year is more of a learning experience, and I didn't really realize I played that many games. That's a lot of games for a rookie, especially when I didn't have a starting job to start the opening day. I guess I kind of worked myself in there. But what I do remember is Rich Reese, who was the first baseman at the time, got off to a slow start. And the team, after being in the playoffs for two straight years prior to that 71 season, we weren't playing well. We weren't winning a lot of games, and Rich was having a struggle. So the manager, Bill Rigney, juggled the lineup a little bit, moved Parker Killebrew to first and put me in third base, because when he did put me in that April and May part of the season, I would do well. I would hit well. So they moved Parker to first and put me at third. But, you know, it's a learning experience for a young player. You know, you're learning the pitchers. So I remember that 254 for a rookie is not a bad start.
Not bad at all. Not bad at all. The next 2 years, 72 and 73, you hit in the 280s while playing primarily third base, but in 74 and 75 you found yourself in the outfield and you hit a career high 302 in 75. What was your favorite position to play?
Actually, my favorite position was second base, but we had a pretty good player over there playing at the time, Rod Carew, who was a perennial all-star at second base, so that's why they had to move me to third. And I remember when they signed Eric Soderholm as a bonus baby, number one draft choice, put him at third, and moved me to left field. But second base was, I thought, my best position and my favorite position. But left field was tough at the Met Stadium, because you had a standard of lights behind the plate, a big standard of lights, and that the ball was hit in the right area in like shallow left field to the left of the position. He lost those balls in the lights, so I remember it being really tough. And I also remember the big mosquitoes in left field. The second was my favorite position.
Okay. What did you you bring up Met Stadium? Did you enjoy playing there? Did you enjoy playing at the Met?
You know, I really love, you know, playing in the big leagues anywhere. It's fun, but the Met Stadium was a great place to play. The fans were great. It just was a, you know, out in the country. It was still cutting winless country out there. You know, it wasn't
sure.
Like one of these city stadiums, so it was easy to get to. But I have a lot of fond memories. You know, that stadium was never completed. They didn't finish the stands along the third base line. But it was a fun place to play, and I got to know a lot of the fans. Used to go into the stadium club after the game with my wife and meet the fans, and I particularly liked the campers weekend.
Oh yeah.
That they used to have there, and I used to enjoy going out with some of the other players and hanging out with the fans on the campers weekend. There's some fond memories.
That's pretty cool. In 1976, Gene Mauth took over as manager, and your playing time decreased slightly, but you still hit 288. After the season was over, the Twins did not protect you, and you were drafted by the new Seattle Mariners in the 1976 expansion draft. What did you think of leaving the Minnesota organization and going to an expansion team?
Well, it was an exciting time because, you know, like a new ball club coming into the league, an expansion team, so everything was fresh, everything was new. You had the dome we were playing in Seattle, and I really wanted to go somewhere where I was going to get a chance to get 500 at bats. So I wanted to see what I could do as a player playing on an everyday basis. I was always the type of player that I was always striving to top of my game, and I wanted to go somewhere where I had a chance to play on an everyday basis, and decided to go to Seattle. So I wanted to see what kind of numbers I could put up by getting 500 at bats instead of the normal 350, 380, 400 I was getting with the Twins.
I think I read somewhere that you requested to be put in or made available for the draft. Is that true?
That's absolutely true.
Okay.
Yeah, I had held out that year. I didn't like the contract that the Twins offered me, so I held out for the whole year and played without a contract, and then signed my contract after the season was over with the stipulation that I would be left unprotected in the expansion draft.
Really? That's interesting.
So I got all my retroactive pay at the salary I wanted, plus being left unprotected so I could go to Seattle and be an everyday player.
Okay. You ended up playing for the Mariners for about a year and a half before being traded to the Royals. You then played for the Royals for a couple of seasons, and the Royals made the playoffs in 78. How did you enjoy playing in Kansas City? I think you just missed the 1980 World Series with Kansas City also.
Yeah, Kansas City was a great place to play. You know, it's a big city that you can get around in, great fans, and of course that ballpark was the cathedral of baseball ballparks in the American League. It was a great ballpark to play in, like immaculate with all the new infrastructure for the fans and a great place to play. And of course, it was my first time playing on a playoff caliber team, which is what every ball player wants to do is to play in the showcase, the World Series, and the playoffs. So I got a chance to experience that with Kansas City. I remember playing in a couple of playoff games in left field for Kansas City in 78, and we did hit the playoffs. Of course, the Yankees did us in like they have been doing at that period every year. But it was a great place to play. I got a chance to play with a manager I really loved, and he kept me in the game for a while longer, Whitey Herzog. And I thought he was the best manager I ever played for, and got an opportunity to play on some playoff teams because of Whitey.
What made Whitey Herzog such a good manager?
A couple of things. Number one, there's no manager that could handle a pitching staff like Whitey Herzog. He just knew the matchups and where to put a pitcher to give him the best chance to succeed. And he was that way with the players, too, that he would match a player up. Like, for instance, if he saw that I hit a particular pitcher well, he might put me in a lineup. He always gave the player the best chance to succeed as far as the statistics and the odds go. And the other thing, he never put a lot of pressure on the players. He let them play, but he was also, it could be tough when he had to be tough. But he manages the game, and managed people. And one thing about Whitey, he always knew that his word was his bond. I remember getting traded to Kansas City and switched locker rooms from the Mariners to the Kansas City Royals, and Whitey told me to, listen, Steve, I know you've played a lot the last several years in the American League here. You got a lot of playing time here. You're going to be my backup. You're going to be my pinch hitter, play once in a while. So he didn't tell me something that wasn't true. He always stuck to his word, and he got a lot of respect from his players because of that.
Okay. After you left Kansas City, you spent a short time in Toronto with the Blue Jays, and then you signed with St. Louis, where you played from 1981 until your big league career ended after the 85 season. Tell us about your time in St. Louis, and I think during that period you went to the World Series twice.
Yeah, that was the most exciting time in my career because I was really a team guy, and I really enjoyed the team I played with there. It was an exciting team to watch, and which I did a lot of because I was delegated to pinch hitting for the time I was in St. Louis. So, you know, I would get a chance to hit maybe once or twice a week late in the game. So I watched a lot of baseball from the dugout, and I got to see guys like Ozzie Smith and Tommy Herr, Keith Hernandez, Darryl Porter. I mean, we had some really great ball players. see them, you know, with the talent. The other thing about St. Louis was I think they're, them and the Chicago Cubs fans are the, some of the best fans in baseball, most knowledgeable fans in baseball. And St. Louis, as you know, they've got a great history of baseball with the Browns being there and the Cardinals all at the same time. So there's a great history of baseball in St. Louis and a great winning tradition. And I can remember getting a walk late in the game to start a rally, leading off an inning, and I would get a standing ovation from, you know, some of the fans around the lower deck there just by getting a walk. So they knew the value of a small thing in a game.
Sure.
So, and of course, winning and playing in the World Series is nothing like it for a player. That's what we all strive for, and I got a chance to do that twice with St. Louis. And we also had a great team in 81, but the strike got us that year where we finished with the best record in the league. But because they split the season in two halves, we didn't make the playoffs. So 3 of the 5 years I was there, we had great teams. And to see guys like Willie McGee come up and dominate the league, and then later on in 85, it was Vince Coleman came up and stole like over 100 bases.
Mm-hmm.
It was an exciting team to watch play.
You mentioned Tommy Herr. You know, Tommy Herr has kind of a bad reputation here in Minnesota after that trade for Brunansky. What was Tommy Herr really like? He never seemed to hit it off very well here.
Well, Tommy's a kind of a quiet kind of guy. You know, he's a good guy. I love Tom and talk to him on occasion. But you know, he's just more to himself. He's a private person. And I think that the trade itself, I know Brunansky was a really popular guy
right. In
St. Louis, and that kind of started, that left this sour taste in people's mouth when the trade was made, and then Tom being who he is, being a more a quiet kind of guy, not a flamboyant type of player or person, was more to himself, and I think people took it the wrong way.
Okay. The big news recently is the signing of Albert Pujols leaving the Cardinals and signing a $250 million contract with the Angels. What are your thoughts of a Cardinal icon like that leaving to play elsewhere?
Well, that's a personal thing. You know, I hate to say it because, you know, I still root for the Cardinals, being my last team I played for. I was rooting for them in the World Series, and you know, Albert's got his reason why he did it. I don't know what they are. I think it's a more personal decision that every player has to make where he wants to play and what's best for him and his family. And, you know, Albert does a lot of good things charity-wise. He's got his foundation and, you know, putting a lot of his money that he does make to good use. You know, but that's more of a personal decision.
Okay. Steve, you had 15 big league seasons under your belt, but yet you still spent the entire 1986 season in AAA Louisville. Can you tell me why?
For a couple of reasons. I don't know if you recall, but the rosters were cut to 24 that year from 25.
Okay.
I don't know why the owners did that, but that year they did it. Whitey told me, listen, I can't keep you on my club with 24 players. But if you go to Louisville and play down there, if they do change it back to 25, I'll bring you up, and you can still help me. So that's the main reason. And the other reason is because I still was healthy. I still was, I was 38 years old, still felt good. I kept myself in good shape. I wanted to go play baseball, and I got a chance to DH at Louisville. And I knew they had a lot of a great franchise in Louisville.
Sure.
They were drawing tons of people there, so it was fun to play there. It was fun to play again because, as you recall, the 5 years prior to that in St. Louis, I was just delegated to pinch hitting. So I wanted to go down and play baseball.
Okay, fair enough. When you retired, you were one of the top pinch hitters in Major League history. What made you such a good pinch hitter?
The number one word I would say is preparation. It's important to prepare yourself and to find a way that's going to keep you sharp and ready to help the club when they call on you. So I kept myself in good physical shape, and I worked, I hit a lot of batting practice. I spent a lot of time working, knowing what the pitchers threw. If a pitcher came into town, I knew the guy I was going to face. I remembered what they threw to me the last time I faced them, and I really took a lot of batting practice. And fortunately with St. Louis, they had batting practice pitchers that had different motions and different styles, and they could sink the ball and throw curve balls. And so I would take a particular pitcher, batting practice pitcher that day, and kind of match him up with who I might face that night. And that helped my that preparation helped my confidence. Whenever you feel prepared for whatever you're doing, you have a certain level of confidence.
Sure.
And we all know that confidence is the most important attribute a hitter has. So when I knew I was prepared, I was more confident in my ability to do the job.
Okay. Who was the best player you ever played with, Steve?
George Brett.
Really?
George Brett was the best hitter I ever played with, and he was probably a lot better fielder than given credit for. But the main thing is he was such a throwback, old time attitude. Like, he's going to play no matter what. If he was hurt, he's still out there. And he was a great team leader in that. The team leader, when he's able to come out there, when he's not completely healthy, sets the tone for the rest of the team. And George, of course, everybody knows the great hitter he was. But I put George up there with the best player I ever played with.
Okay. Interesting. That's the man definitely could hit, no question about that. The Twins could have used somebody that would play when they were hurt this past year.
I heard that. Yeah, I came in Minnesota this past year. I got a chance to talk to one of my favorite players I ever played with of all time, was Tony Oliva. So I got a chance to visit with Tony for about an hour before one of the final games of the season there. And he was telling me about all the injuries and the problems they had this past year.
Yeah. Have you been to Target Field?
Yeah, that's where I talked to Tony.
Oh, okay.
Got a chance to go there, and a beautiful stadium, really fan-friendly, but just a really set up well for the city and as far as geographically, with the train coming up right next to the stadium and people being able to walk off the streets right into the stadium, great highway access, and, of course, the wide concourses and, be able to, comfortably handle that big a number of people. I really thought it was a beautiful stadium, and was happy to get a chance to see it.
Yeah, it really is nice. When you were a Twin, you and owner Calvin Griffith obviously didn't always see eye to eye on salaries, since you took the team to arbitration twice, coming away a winner once and losing once. What was it like going through the arbitration process for you?
Well, I just understood that was business, and I never took it held it against the Twins for offering me what they did, but also understood that I had a right to dispute that in arbitration. And so, because they, when you go into arbitration, they try to degrade you as kind of as a player, bring out your weaknesses, and try to convince the arbiter that this is the salary that he should be paid. And I'm doing the opposite. Me and my attorney, we're telling them my strengths and telling them the weaknesses aren't as bad as they say they are. So it's kind of strange being in there and having your employer tear you down.
Yep.
But in the same sense, you know that it's all business.
Yeah, it's interesting.
But I thought it was a fair process. You think you should be paid one thing, and they think the other, and they use comparables for other players in the league. We bring out our comparables, what other players are making, and they bring out theirs, and then it's kind of usually it helps them come up with their offer and you to come down. because you don't want to come in with a number that you know you can't achieve.
Yep.
And they got to do the same. So it kind of works out.
Yeah. Steve, what do did you do once your career as an active player was done at 38 years of age?
Well, after that year, my last year we were talking about earlier, my 86 year with Louisville, I got injured, I think it was about the first part of June. I pulled a hamstring muscle pretty bad. And you know, at 38, you don't heal up quite as fast as you do when you're 18. And it was become a nagging injury. And there was a shakeup in the organization, the Cardinal organization. Fregosi, Jim Fregosi, who was managing Louisville, got the Chicago White Sox job.
Okay.
And Mike Jorgensen, who was the hitting coach in the Cardinal organization, got the managing job, interim managing job for Louisville. And that left the hitting coaching position open in the Cardinal organization. Lee Thomas was the farm director at the time and offered me the job. And I went home and thought about it for a week or two and then accepted the position. And I went on to coach in three organizations for the next 20 years as a hitting coach mostly.
Okay. Did you enjoy being a hitting coach?
Yeah, I really did. It was a challenge developing, a plan for up to 60 or 70 players in a minor league organization, working with all that many players and different personalities and different hitting styles and trying to come up with a plan to make each one of them a little better and so they have a chance to do what I did in the major leagues. But it was a lot of fun. I did a lot of traveling, went into some cities, Louisville, Little Rock, Battle Creek, Michigan, Savannah, Georgia, you name it, I've been there. And so that part of it was a lot of fun. Got a chance to play a lot of different golf courses.
Yeah.
And worked with a lot of good players in my years. Quite a few major leaguers that I had a chance to work with and then watch their careers. Heck, some of them, actually a lot of them are retired now that I coach. So that tells you where I am as far as age was.
Yeah, we're all getting there.
Yeah, but that was an enjoyable time in my career. But later on in the last few years, I was getting tired of the buses and the traveling, and it was time for me to step down. Right now, I run a baseball instructional business here in Mercer County in Trenton, New Jersey, and work with kids anywhere from 7 on up to 18, 19 years old. So I'm still involved in the game, helping those kids get better and improve and reach their potential, whatever that might be.
Do you enjoy working with the kids?
Yeah, that's a lot of fun for me. I do some summer camps Monday through Friday, half-day summer camps, and then my winter programs are just starting here after the first of the year. So I do hitting and pitching programs indoors here. So it's a lot of fun to see the kids succeed and go on into high school, and I'll follow them at some of the high school games, and then some of them went home to college and played some pretty good college ball. So to see that whole development from when they're 7, 8 years old and then they go through high school into college is a lot of fun for me.
Sure. I read somewhere that you're a big fan of yoga. Is that something you took up after your playing career, or was it something?
I find out about that, man. You really do your research.
I try.
I have gotten into yoga here the last, I want to say 3 or 4 years, because I do play a lot of golf, and my back was starting to bother me, and so I got on a rigorous physical program to help my flexibility and my core, my back, and my core muscles, and now I'm able to play a lot more golf and enjoy life a lot better. The yoga has really been a tremendous thing. Probably the thing that I wish I would have done when I was younger.
Okay.
I think it would have helped me a lot in my playing career, because I'm probably more flexible now when I played as a player.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, Steve, I've kept you on the phone here quite a while, so I have one final question for you. Do you have anything you'd like to say to your fans back here in Minnesota?
Patience, people. It takes a while to develop a team, and it's a great place to play baseball as a player. Great fans up there, and it's just, I think they've done things well as an organization. I got a chance to see a lot of the minor leaguers, the current major leaguers come up, Morneau and Maurer, coming through the Eastern League when I was coaching the Eastern League. I saw Kadir play in the Eastern League, and I know the organization is in doing the right thing, developing a strong minor league program, and it takes time to develop these players, and of course the injuries have occurred this year. But I think the fans have had a lot of good baseball up there the last 10, 15 years.
Sure.
With a limited budget, as a team, it's hard to compete.